Apple launches Business Essentials and shuts down Fleetsmith. I wanted to get some color, so I talked to Jason Detburn, CEO of Adigy, to learn more. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech.
My first kind of question, and we'll do this sort of super loose, is Fleetsmith was a pretty high profile acquisition for Apple, who is very, very deliberate on their acquisition strategy. They don't do a ton and they're very careful. So they do this acquisition in 2020. What was your thinking on why they bought Fleetsmith?
Well, I was legitimately worried when that happened. Luckily, we have people, Apple execs, previous Apple execs on our board, and they laid it out with conviction. This was an acqui-hire. And actually, when you look at the numbers on the business itself, Fleetsmith wasn't a really solid growth business by any stretch. And so you add those components together. Like, it was really frustrating to listen to. Like, well, all their engineering is in Cupertino, is all pre-COVID, and they need all their engineers in Cupertino in California. There's a NorCal company, you know, et cetera. And then the next one was, well, okay, Fleetsmith. Well, when they did the acquisition, you could look at the backlash that happened because they had to turn off a bunch of things that Apple told them to do, and people left in droves. And really, our board told us these guys are going to sunset the product in 9 to 12 months. And just about exactly that time frame, that's what did pan out, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I think you've answered my then why they shut it down. So if this is just a hiring bit, you buy it, you shut it down because if it doesn't have the growth, how does that link into what they launched? Because they launched Apple Business Essentials. Did they just hire smart people that they needed working on that instead?
I mean, they definitely knew this engineering team. It's hard to think about, okay, it's going to cost me $100 million to recruit a 50-person enterprise engineering team that knows what they're doing, right? But you know, the people I work with, they're like, no, this is kind of what it costs, especially in Silicon Valley. And they had to get those things right. The interesting part is Apple just puts the spec out. They never actually had to use their own tools. So the great thing about it, and what we saw in the last year, was Apple making lots of changes to MDM to get a lot of the functionality that was very buggy working. So we're extremely happy that they're digging in and having to eat their own dog food with the MDM spec, because that's what we had to reverse engineer a lot of.
Okay. So in a way, from your mind, this is actually good. They put talented people on the stuff that you need.
And fix the stuff that was broken. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So what did anything make it from Fleetsmith into Apple Business Essentials?
Not directly, but under the hood, there was definitely areas of getting software deployed and a few other key areas. But Apple's got their very tight stack, which means you can't just deploy any third-party software. It has to be stuff in apps and books, i.e. their sort of iCloud app store. And that's the only way to deploy. So right now, the restrictions on the tool set are a little tight for people. Also, user management has to be with iCloud users. Most organizations don't work that way. So at an SMB level, getting out of the box, really core functionality, it's extraordinarily, you know, helpful and important. And it assures that Apple's simplifying those tools and the methodology. So we see is, look, they're putting marketing money in. They're simplifying the tools that are out there that got a little complex. They're getting it robust. And it's an incubator for people to get into the Apple ecosystem at an infrastructure level and upgrade to other tools.
Okay. Who do you think is the target buyer for Apple Business Essentials? Because if I try and put people into buckets, I would think an individual user is AppleCare, and an enterprise of size, right? and people can interpret that how they want. I'm thinking, you know, it's at least two digits. It's probably three in terms of devices. That's clearly an enterprise solution, right? You guys play in that space. There's several others that play in that space. Who's Apple want to buy Apple Business Essentials? Who are the buyers?
I mean, they've been very clear, adamant, both publicly with me. They intend SMBs. So that very direct SMB market, and obviously that's a huge span depending on whose definition you're looking at. I really believe it's 10 to really, I know it sounds low, but 50 or 60 devices. At that point, you're looking at bringing in an internal IT in general, and you really need a more sophisticated tool set than they offer.
Okay, but you're right. That's a pretty large segment here. And I will say, you know, having looked on my analysis on it, I would think that anybody who's in IT services focused on the SMB should view this as an actual play, because this seems like a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of time on Apple's part with a very identified market. This feels like an actual play. Am I misinterpreting it?
No, I mean, they don't do things that they don't expect to win. But I think this one is still, up in the air for quite a while. This is just an area that they have not typically done really much resources in general. So it's going to take them a while. But I think that early end of it, which takes a lot of education in the market, they realize that that's really, it's going to get the ball moving on the SMB level. We're going to see a lot more growth here. We see a huge vacuum. I see Apple based technicians at MSPs, they take on big gigs between, you know, I could name them from Peloton and others out there that have been able to, there's a big vacuum of talent in the space is all I'm getting at. And if Apple can help in building the talent as well as the tools, great. It's going to take probably a little longer than they want. I remember when a lot of these things were initially pitched to Apple back in the day, Tim Cook would say, listen, I need to make $1 billion in 30 days with this. And it's hard to compete against that. They had the United Airlines rewards Visa program. They did more in the first month with Apple, the Apple credit card, than that program ever did in its entire history. So it's just the demands of Apple to get ROI are really high, and this is going to take them a while. But we're just happy that they're focused on doing so.
So you've been a great one for me to think this out through. And you even just brought up the area that I wanted to go. And I know you're thinking with this is may align with mine. Look, you brought up the Apple Card. It feels to me like the obvious market sector that Apple's going to target besides SMB, which is really big. If I'm trying to get a little bit more specific in SMB, it feels like the retail point of sale space would be a massive play for them, taking on, you know, Square, and which already has a certain degree of iPads as devices. That whole space feels really big. Retail, restaurants, any services space. Is that the first logical place to start for this?
Yeah, you've hit on a really hidden horse in the matter, which is that, you know, if you look at Apple Stack, they never like having a third party that they're completely reliant upon. And in the case of POSs, which is their iPhone and iPads in the field, they really want to have a turnkey utility to get that end-to-end functioning. And so this is something they needed to do if they were going to have that out-of-the-box management of POS devices. Now, we haven't seen them sort of pivot from this center stack that they've done to doing that, but I know that's part of the cards.
Okay. And then logically, if I was Apple, right? Like, so for a moment, I was saying, I want to, SMB is really big. How do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. So I start chunking off industries. Retail point of sale seems like the obvious first bit. Ancillary to that would seem like their investment in healthcare, because you could see small doctors, dentists, again, where you're thinking the same thing. These have some retail type components to them. Am I right in thinking that that's probably an ancillary next step beyond that?
Yeah, you are. I think we'll have to see how much they widen this, but some areas of Apple are ginormous. Like their iCloud team is 2,000 engineers, right? Their Safari browser team, how many engineers do you think they have?
Oh, I'm going to put that into the 3,000 or 4,000 almost, because that's a major product. Yeah.
Three. Okay. No, just three.
Oh, just and three.
So they, okay. Just three. And they literally have a principle around Safari where you don't, you're not allowed to check in any new code on Safari unless you're making the code base smaller and faster. Okay. So, It varies. The product marketing team on the Apple business side was 4 people. So, you know, it's not quite clear behind the big brand how much resources go into what. But we know that they're going to sit back and expect the machine to work unattended on the Apple Business Essentials side, as far as how it works and how it gets people enrolled and making money. But I think those verticals are way too attractive for them not to to really make some serious money in.
Well, and to your point, like at Apple is at a size and scale where when Cook says, like, I need to make $1 billion, there are only so many industries that can feed the machine for growth that Apple needs right now. Like, and literally, I mean, I would sort of say the ones I come up with are transportation. I'm not going to have the Apple car conversation here, but that's why it's interesting, right? Because automobiles industry would be big enough. Healthcare, clearly big enough. Retail, clearly big enough. And there aren't that many more besides maybe government. And that's not going to be the space they're playing. That's going to be why Amazon or Microsoft is playing in government, right? But there are only so many industries that feed their needs.
I mean, education was a big part of it before, but they're losing share to Chromebooks. And we don't see them making a big push into that overall. So, I agree. I mean, it's going to be a little interesting because the demands of getting that $1 billion ROI back at a consumer level, it's nuts how they'll put out a new product and boom, $1 billion, right?
Right.
not a lot of front end services and people and sales and everything else along with it. But on the consumer side, that's what they expect. And this is definitely a
so what bridge. Are you advising to those? We've talked about these industries, right? So we've talked about SMB, we've talked about those then that are in retail, that are in healthcare. What are you advising these SMB IT services companies to be thinking about here as they're designing for the future? Like, do they partner with Apple? Do they fear Apple? What's the advice you're giving them?
No, I mean, partner with Apple. So the way we saw it previously up until, you know, just recently overall, most organizations direct, let's call them tech companies overall, like color.com. And, you know, we got a lot of them that use us. They get to about 100 devices without any tool sets. And then they move to something like Adigee. And that's a big gap. So out of the gate, encrypt those devices with File Vault. Do the sensible things around, you know, managing those devices from the day you start that new tech company. And then you migrate into the right tool sets and MSPs that have the ability to provide that layer on top of that. So it's great for all of us to have people start out with the right technology stack. And going from zero to anything is actually harder than you think. Like, one of the things that we were never very, very successful to do is moving people from like either nothing or even open source tools, because people just didn't even value their time and they were able to put all this effort into things that weren't going to even meet the mark. But that's the incubator for a lot of this growth.
Gotcha. Well, hey, Jason, appreciate that, man. This is what I wanted to get another sense of, because, you know, particularly from the rapid time frame to buy something and then shut it down in, you know, roughly 2 years, either you've made a mistake or you've got a strategy I didn't see. And I'm glad to get a little bit of insight.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.